mechheads out there, and welcome to this week's edition of the Mechhead Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to Battletech. On today's show, we've got something old and something new. First off, something old. Our mech of the week is the Archer. The perfect mech has strong firepower, good armor, good heat dissipation capabilities, and not sacrifice any of that for speed. And 3025, that was very hard to achieve, but one mech came close, and that mech was the Archer. It's one of the most iconic mechs around. Its name brings to mind many things. Too great, well, to most people, warriors. Powerful long-range attacks, and LRMs. And while there may be bigger LRM boats, this one is the most loved and is considered to be the cream of the crop. It's funny that you'd think the smaller slash lighter mechs would be easier to be mass-produced, but according to TRO3025, this was the second most made mech of all time. And the original Archer was the ARC-2R, 70 tons, 4.6, 13 tons of armor, which is more than some assault mechs and most heavies, 2 LRM-20s, and 4 medium lasers. Everyone should know the stats for this mech. It is of average speed for its size, powerful, and well-armored. It only has one disadvantage. This guy is a heat hog. Firing both LRM-20s overheats it, so you shouldn't be firing both racks every turn. That limits its firepower, so over two turns it is actually matched by the catapult. Still, a solid mech in 3025, where nearly every mech has heat issues. In level 2 play, it's not as strong as it used to be, but with its solid armor, it can still hold its own, if not as well. For the battle report, while the Archer serves best in a lance, it can also do well in a one-on-one duel, using its superior armor to win. On the regular map, its opponent was a 6k Warhammer, but unfortunately for me, I got real unlucky with the dice rolls. And now, there are a few known variants for this original Archer. First one is the 2k, which is a Draconis Combine variant, and it drops the LRMs, 20s, 15s, adds two heat sinks, drops all four medium lasers, and a bit of armor. For what, you might ask? Two large lasers. This makes the mech run quite a bit hotter if all weapons are fired, makes it much more of a frontline mech. Battle report, same place, same opponent, did a bit better, but still lost. Next up is a Steiner variant, which adds two SRM-4 racks by dropping the LRM-20s 15s. This should make the mech a bit more able to defend itself in close combat, hopefully better than the 2K. And the battle report, this one worked a lot better. The extra punch the SRM provided was really helpful. And next up is Wolf's Dragoons variant. It's similar to the Steiner models and it too has two SRM-4s, but it does so by dropping the two rear-mounted medium lasers and a lot more armor than the 2S does. I'd be a bit wary of this one because while it's more powerful, it runs quite a bit hotter and has a full 48 points armor less than 2S, which has already lost some armor. And there are a couple other variants. To quote TRO3025, quote, "The many modifications to the Archer design over the centuries could themselves fill a book." And, quote, "Almost all weapons variations have been tried on the Archer, and many of those are still around." I could easily see a version with two PPCs, with the extra weight saved put into heat sinks. You could also drop all the weapons and shave off some armor for two AC-20s and some ammo. You could also replace both LRM-20s, their ammo, and a medium laser with four AC-2s and some ammo. It is just such a versatile design, many things work on it. Now on to 3050 and beyond. And with the event of level 2 technologies, many mechs change dramatically, some even changing their range profiles totally, like the Atlas. The Archer, however, except for one custom mod, is pretty much the same, which is a good move in my book. And it was interesting to note differences between the older upgrades and the newer ones. The first upgrade I'll be covering is a custom mod from Rubinsky's Renegade. This design, coming from Mercenary's Field Manual, has very low level 2 tech. As a one-of-a-kind mech, this former 2R has had its LRM-20s replaced with dual SRM-6s, a hatchet, case, and now has 12 double heat sinks. And for the battle report. While its weaponry isn't its entire level 1, it can run and fire all of its forward-firing weapons for zero heat. While it wasn't good as I thought it was, the bot was being cheap, but I still got him in the end though. Following verdict on that guy, it's fun, but needs support of the right situation to be good, but it is still fun to play as that guy. Next up is the 4M. In my book, this is the best archer there is. It's a simple but straightforward upgrade, just how I like him. Indosteel helps make up room for two Artemis pods and case. Add in double heat sinks, and this thing is near perfect. I really can't come up with a fault for this thing, besides its sucky backup weapons. By the time of speedy XL engine monsters, 4M shows that you don't have to go overboard with new tech to get an effective mech. My final verdict is that you're going to take one of the 350 archers? Take this one. Next up is the 5R, and this free Wrestle Hodge Republic design is an improved 2K. It uses Indo, Case, and Artemis, as well as a switch to double heat sinks, along with a half ton of added armor. It now mounts two ER large lasers, though. Sounds like a pretty good sniper. And battle report. This mech has a clear firing pattern, which I like. It also has plenty of ammo, and if you like LRM boats with direct fire support weapons as well, this wouldn't be a bad choice. Large lasers allow you to be a decent threat even if your ammo is depleted / blown up. The bot was being real cheap this game, staying in a fire hex the whole time. I flushed him out eventually, but then lost a leg. He started to close. Thought I was done for? Nope. The heavy armor of the archer allowed me to survive until we got in optimal range, even though I was only able to use one ER large laser. Final verdict? Pretty good. Better than the original. Now on is the 5S, and now things take a different turn. This model takes a 2S, turns the SRM 4s into Streak SRM 2s, which is okay, I guess, except that they have a ton of ammo for each launcher. Using an XL medium pulse laser to replace the old medium laser, and a NARC beacon is added, but the armor is back up to 13 tons. Also, there are only 6 NARC shots. I'd replace the second ton of Streak SRM ammo with more NARC ammo, at least this thing has case though. Not like it'd really help with having an XL engine. Only the base 10 double heat sinks make this thing a bit of a heat hog if you use the medium pulse lasers and both LRM-15s. Quite an oddball this design is, and I bet that the powers that be just put in for variety. Now, for the battle report. The enemy cataphract closed quickly, and I cannot keep my distance enough. The weapon for close support is too short ranged. I was finally able to distance myself, but then the Streak SRM ammo got hit. My final verdict for this guy? Stay away from this death trap. Next up is a 5W. This design is similar to the 5S in that it too has an XL engine and NARC. It still has the 2Ws, SRM-4s, and LRM-20s, but there are no other weapons. NARC has 2 tons of ammo now, which makes you much more likely to launch a few when it's a 9 or 10 to hit. There's case, and now 13 tons of armor. No Artemis, and all the ammo is NARC capable. You can fire everything and run and be heat neutral. Battle report. This thing blew away the cataphract, which couldn't handle the dual LRM-20s. While the SRM-4s aren't as good as they were in level 1 days, they still provide enough punch to do something. My final verdict for this guy? Better than the 5S, but not by much. And now we have the Project Phoenix Archer. And first up is the 8M, which takes the 5R, drops out an ER large laser, moves the other to the center torso, and adds in 3 ER medium lasers, and ups the armor to 13.5 tons. Battle report. The bot was real sneaky, able to get within 9 hexes without being able to get a shot on it. The bot kept on doing the same pattern though. I really need a human to go up against. You can fire both LRM-15s and the ER large laser for no heat, but to add in the mediums means dropping out of the other weapons if you want to stay heat neutral. So if one of these is attacking, say, your lance, closing in on it would make it lessen its long-range bombardment. And, well, it's another long-ranger, less powerful than its predecessor, but better able to defend itself up close. It won't be doing 30 points of damage like the older one, but you can still force a PSR in there every turn. I found up-close work, 2 mediums and the large to be optimal weapons to use to stay under heat. Then there's the 6S. This redesign of the 5S drops the NARC to put in a light engine. It's got better survivability. You've got 2 medium lasers in the center torso to provide self-defense, and the ER small serves as the rear weapon. Now, that's kind of odd, isn't it? I'd rather bump that up to regular medium myself. Better range, damage. Well, let's get back to the mech. You've got max armor and the classic double LRM-20s of Artemis, but you still have the dual streak SRM-2s. Battle report. First turn, I got a 12 for an LM20. Yes, I actually got the 12. But then, I couldn't hit anything. I guess I jinxed myself there. I quickly found myself out of ammo, but still alive. But then, the pilot got knocked out, and I lost. Final verdict, better than the original. But by how much? Not a lot. Now, it's a 6W. Another Wolf's Dragoons mech? Nope, this guy is Tarian. What is becoming more and more common is the obligatory rocket launcher model. This mech is very low tech, with no level 2 tech to speak of. It uses 20 heat sinks to combat the heat of the 8 forward-facing rocket launcher 20s, the 2 rear-facing rocket launcher 10s, which is the most powerful rear arsenal I've seen on a Canon mech. So where are the medium lasers? 2 on each arm, making a decent technical armament against a level 1 opponent. And for battle report, there are 2 ways I could see uses for this mech. First off, like the original Archer, firing 2 rocket launcher 20s per turn, but then you only have 4 turns of ammo. You will be staying under heat though. Or you can just fire them all and hope they hit. I blacked to get the opponent out and turn around and fire the rocket launcher 10s backwards at it. I bet that'll look pretty funny seeing missiles firing out from the back, you know? Let's think about it for a bit, you'll get it in a second. Final verdict. Only if you like rocket launchers. It has a top long range of 12, thanks to the inefficient rocket launcher 20s. The medium lasers do provide sufficient backup for level 1 combat. And I will not be covering the Project Phoenix update designs, since I have no experience with them all and they're not in my version of Mega Mac. And there are some custom level 2 mods you could do. Here are a few I came up with. You could take the 4M, take everything out. You could put in 2 Gauss rifles and 1 ton of ammo. Or, take the 4M again, and drop in 4 PPCs and use an extra 3 tons left over for anything, probably extra heat sinks. Or you could take the 2R, replace the LM20s with MRM30s. So those are just a couple ideas I came up with. Overall, this iconic fire support mech has proved its worth over the centuries and is still a viable option on today's battlefield thanks to smart upgrades. While there have been many knockoffs, including there's a lot of other fire support jobs out there. While quite a few can do more damage, many cannot equal its longevity on the battlefield. Thanks to the new Total Warfare technology, specifically MMLs, archers should become even more flexible than they already are, and it may make you be much more wary about closing with them. And now for something new. Total Warfare has changed things. Part 1, Infantry and Tanks. And I've played a few games with a friend of mine who I've introduced to Battletech using Total Warfare rules, and there are definitely some differences between Total Warfare and the BMR. Today I'll be covering differences on infantry and tanks. First off, infantry. Infantry rules are a bit different now. Most big weapons, medium lasers, PPCs, AZ-10s, etc., will now only kill one trooper. While weapons like machine guns, small pulse lasers, and flamers have been enhanced against infantry. The flamer especially, each one getting 4 dice rolls. So, one flamer could nearly take out an entire platoon. So, it's more realistic, makes much harder for mechs to kill infantry. So, a growing theme in Total Warfare mechs is to mount anti-infantry weaponry. In the original 3025, many mechs did mount anti-infantry weapons, but over the years, that kind of lessened and lessened. Now they're making resurgence. A Firestarter, the original one, can now destroy a whole company of infantry in one go. That's 3 to 4 platoons. So infantry don't sound that good anymore, huh? Well, you'd be wrong in a way. Besides certain infantry types, you can now make your own custom ones. That means you can make yours as fast, as powerful as you want, up to 5 MP by being hover mechanized, and the wide variety of weaponry go from as low as 0 battle tech scale damage to up to 0.92 per trooper non-support, 2.33 support, so they have gotten more powerful as well. If you're smart about these new things, infantry can still be good. The faster and more powerful you are, the more you weigh. Mechanized infantry can weigh up to 24 tons per platoon. Besides, most of the recent mechs, Heroes 3050, 3055, 3058, 3060, and 3067, not counting the updated versions, do not mount any anti-infantry weapons, so you're all good there, pretty much. If you're facing an opponent who does not have specific anti-infantry weapons on his mechs, Don't worry about taking some infantry, they will survive much longer than they used to. And now into tanks. If any of y'all have played using the old Max-X rules, also known as level 3 rules, pretty much find them in Total Warfare. These have, in some eyes, been nerfed. There's much less of a chance that you'll lose a good amount of your forces on this first round of combat, like you did under BMR rules. So you can be cheap, and it's kind of just sit there and just stay still. Some are saying that these are harder to kill now than mechs. I took a PPC Grasshopper versus a Patton, and my friend who's driving it, who just started Balta, gave me a good run for the money. You're much more likely just to get a mobility crit than anything else. So the tank rules better? Well, tanks are much less disposable than they used to be, and much more equal to mechs. In some cases, they'd be too powerful. It could lead to very boring games if you just use them just sitting there like pillboxes. I'd absolutely dread a Heimdall under Total Warfare rules, because that thing has like over 100 points of armor just on its front face alone. And speaking of powerful tanks, our vehicle of the week is one of the most powerful, this Shrek. Everyone likes the awesome, right? Though, that's a mech. And you vehicles lovers out there feel a little left out of multiple PP action, right? Well, thanks to Shrek, you're not. And hailing from the classic 3026, this tank weighs the same as the awesome does. Goes just as fast and has even more heat sinks. And they're a lot cheaper than the mech, about 2-to-1 battle value wise. There is one issue though. To use the inefficient PPCs, Shrek has poor armor, though it's not as bad as it was in the pre-Total Warfare days. We could lose most of your force in one turn if you were unlucky. For me, this is a design that I'm stout on since Hero 3026 was not sold in stores when I first discovered Battletech. And a real shame, since if I had Hero 3026 before I got Hero 3058, I've known where the Alicorn came from, idea-wise. Its battle value 1 is only 662, less than most level 1 medium mechs. Stats: 80 tons, 3.5, 7.5 tons of armor, uses a fusion engine. There's only one version, which is level 1, for a good reason. ARPPCs use even more heat. Upgrade examples. Could use an XL engine to, well, upgrading to an XL won't save you more than a couple tons. Not enough to put another PPC in or anything, but enough to put a small close range armament or more armor, but not the way to go in my mind. Could change the weaponry, but to what? Gauss rifles would just be another Alicorn. Well, you could try two ERPPCs and some extra tons left over. You could also pull the original PPCs for large pulse lasers, which would make for a deadly city fighter. Could also swap the PPCs for ER large lasers and extra heat sinks, but you wouldn't save any weight doing that. Speaking of that, could stay level 1 and drop the PPCs down to large lasers, saving 12 tons. If you want to go Total Warfare, you can mount 2 heavy PPCs or even 6 light PPCs, second of which would save you 6 tons. Then again, though, you would lose a bit of range on that one. It could also save a tiny bit of weight using Stumnose PPCs. And those ideas are just the ones using energy weapons, staying truthful to the original. You could put in light Gauss rifles, LB-10s, etc., etc. Battle report. I tried 2 Shreks versus 1 Awesome, but the Awesome always won thanks to its internal structure. It took 3 Shreks to take down the Awesome, but hey, what would you expect? For V, that's pretty darn good. My Mega Mech uses BMR rules though, so I think if I used Total Warfare rules, 2-on-1 would work, maybe even 1-on-1 if you got lucky. The final verdict. If you want a V that's good at long-range direct fire support, you can't go wrong with a Shrek. But don't expect it to win your battles for you. It needs support to shine. So it's not exactly like its mech cousin the Awesome, but even being compared slightly to such a good machine is an honor. Now it's time for the Solaris 7 News Report. Hello there, I'm Brad Trackler. Today, a special dedication was held in the Solaris City Spaceport today in honor of former champion Kai Alilau. A plaque was erected in his honor at the entrance to the city. Well, that's about it for the show. Send comments, suggestions, feedback, etc. to mechedpodcast@yahoo.com. That is mechedpodcast.com as mechedpodcast@yahoo.com. Read the blog, subscribe to us on iTunes. If you like the show, tell a friend, and may all your hits be crits. Bye, everybody.
The MechHead Podcast is made possible by
Garrett Satcom, the leader in battle mech targeting and tracking systems.
And
the LCAF Recruiting Command. Conquer the stars.